Elizabeth Benedict's second novel is a coming-of-age story about a kid growing up with parents who act like kids. Ann Tyler praised the book in a review for the Chicago Tribune and wrote that The Beginner's Book of Dreams deserves a high position in the growing ranks of truly excellent novels about those elderly children who serve as parents to their parents. The marvel is that such a sad book could be such a joy to read. The novel spans 10 years in the life of Esme Singer. Esme's parents divorced when she was young. Georgia, her mother, is an alcoholic who's had a series of live-in lovers. Esme's father is always scheming to make a fast buck and never comes through on his word. I asked Elizabeth Benedict if Esme's story was her own.
The story is not my family. The story is some of the characters in the story are based very loosely on people I knew when I was a child. But I do know something about growing up with an alcoholic, which The Beginner's Book of Dreams is very much about. It's sometimes when I read the book aloud, I'm struck by how vivid it is, and I imagine that readers imagine that I've just transcribed my life. And I'm always surprised by the fact that that's not true.
You said you know something about what it's like to grow up with an alcoholic parent. Was one of your parents alcoholic?
Yes, my father is an alcoholic who's no longer drinks, but I did grow up in a family with a drinking parent. And his alcoholism caused a lot of insecurity in the family, and because his behavior was so unreliable and unpredictable, we were all slightly off kilter a good bit of the time, wondering what was going to happen next.
What are some of the things that really rang true to you, that you'd experienced, that you put into the book, about the kinds of ways that an alcoholic parent would let down or embarrass a child?
Well, I don't think that I was imitating or transcribing my own life in 95% of The Beginner's Book of Dreams. I think that Georgia became her own character, and the embarrassing things that she just sort of did as a character, not as a mirror of my own family or my own life. I knew someone when I was a child who was somewhat
Georgia
like
is the
Georgia.
Mother.
Georgia is the mother.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that she did, which I think is really indicative of alcoholic behavior, is that whenever Georgia comes to some realization about her life and about who she is, she gets drunk. And that's something that's not, as I say, doesn't deal with embarrassment to a child, but that is an important feature of George's behavior that was important to me as I wrote the book. And so that her entire response to difficulties in her life is to get drunk. The effect on the child, of course, is that the parent is never there for them emotionally. And the effect on Esme is that her mother is never there for her.
There's a passage in your book I'd like for you to read that really, I think, gives a sense of how subject to change Esme's family always is.
Mm-hmm.
Would you read that passage for us?
Sure. This is Esme's father in the book, Meyer, is a schemer and a dreamer and something of a lovable con man. And he's mostly an absent character in the book. And he does make one very grand appearance. And he arrives when Esme is about 14 in a Rolls Royce with a new wife and her two children. And Esme is not quite sure whether he introduces the woman as his wife and then tells her that they're not really married. And Esme is supposed to pretend they're married for this visit they're about to go on. He wants to introduce this woman as his wife to his parents. Esme sat in the car, the marvelous car, with her father and these people she was supposed to pretend she was related to. She remembered the list of her mother's failings, the worst things her mother had ever done, the moronic things she did every day, every night, including doing it with some guy she went out with 2 weeks ago last Thursday, doing it loud enough so that it woke Esme up in the middle of the night and she thought her mother was being murdered, until she got up and crept into the living room and saw them on the couch in the dark, dark enough so that they didn't see her. She did not know what she was going to do with the list now, because she did not want to live with her father, with Tina, with these boys, with anyone. She had lived with so many people already. She had been related to so many people, but not really related. Esme closed her eyes now and counted up all of the stepbrothers and stepsisters she had ever had. It was like an accident, all of them ending up together in the same house and calling it a family. And then they would call it off, like stopping a movie in the middle, like stopping the car before you got to where you were going, pulling up on the side of the road and saying, "This is it. Trip's over. Visit's up."
How did you get that feeling that nothing in family is permanent, that things are always shifting, since your family wasn't like that? Did you do, you know, any research at all, like talk to children of families like that, or did you just imagine what it would have been like?
I think I did a lot of imagining, and there was, I think I had some concerns about convincing people of Esme's reality, because that was not my own reality. And I think I just sat in that car in that Rolls Royce with Esme and all of these strangers, and I realized and I thought about and I felt what she must have felt then.
Your character Esme imagines what it would be like to be a grown-up, and I'd like to ask you to read a passage in which she imagines that.
Okay. The passage I'm going to read is what Esme thinks about when she's 8 and a half. And just before this passage, we've seen Esme's mother and her new husband have a terrible fight, and Esme's mother has walked out of the restaurant where they're having dinner, and we see how miserable their lives are together. And in this next scene, the scene I'm about to read, we've switched to Esme by herself. It would be wonderful to be a grown-up. She would stay up until the middle of the night. She would wear a bra, put it on that funny way Georgia did, leaning over to let her breasts fall into the cups. On Sundays, she would read the comics in the Daily News, even though Quinn said that it was low class, which she knew that she was not. She would have a signature that was different from anyone else's, because they made you write a certain way in school and said you were wrong when you didn't. She would say hello, that particular grown-up way, when she answered the phone. She would take a lot of taxis and say, "Keep the change." Her boyfriends would take her to the sign of the dove and help her out of the taxi. She would wear a strapless yellow chiffon dress with a built-in bra to push up and out.
This is a girl whose mother looks like Lauren Bacall. What do you think life would be like if your mother was that glamorous?
I think it would be very difficult. Esme, when she's a child, is plump, and I think partly because her mother is so beautiful, she grows up always in her beautiful mother's shadow. And even when Esme becomes prettier and slimmer, she has an idea of herself as an ugly duckling. And I think that's partly because of her mother's beauty, and also partly because she's gotten so little support at home. It's not that anyone has ever told her she's unattractive, but her self-image, her internal self, her interior self, is so starved and so insecure that she puts herself down constantly. And one of the ways she does that is by putting down her appearance.
Is it important when you're writing, especially when you're starting out, to not hold back because you're thinking, well, gee, my mother might not like this passage, or a friend might think it's them I'm writing about and they might be insulted?
Yeah, I think it's one of the hardest things to me about being a writer is that you don't want to say anything that will hurt somebody's feelings. You don't want to, and the other thing is you don't want to say anything that will be too revealing about yourself, which of course what writing is all about. And so there's a constant struggle for me, and I imagine for a lot of writers, about how do I say what I want to say but still maintain my privacy, my identity. And it's a struggle, but it's also what writing is about. It's about breaking down those fears and those barriers and writing about the things that are difficult to write about, and writing about things that, even if they're not literally what happened to me, they're feelings that I'm familiar with.
Okay, well, I thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Elizabeth Benedict's new novel, The Beginner's Book of Dreams, is published by Knopf. This is Fresh Air.